Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a privilege for me to be among the saints here in Mawa. It's really in my heart for a long time, but the Lord fulfilled this desire. And I really enjoyed the meeting this morning. And for myself, I feel that I am satisfied because I felt the presence of the Lord. And nothing in the world system or the Christendom system can copy or can imitate a meeting where the Lord Jesus is the center and the Holy Spirit is the leader orchestrating the believer's worship toward his name. But bear with me while I will speak, and the Lord placed on my heart while we were worshiping to speak on the same line about the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we read the four Gospels, we meet with this unique person. We see him not as, you know, some other beliefs that God is in heaven far there and we all his slaves worshiping him. But we see something different here. God manifested in flesh as we were praying this morning. We see, if you want to know God, who he is, it's good to know about him from the Old Testament. But to see him in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a human form, you are meeting, when you see read about the Lord Jesus Christ in his daily life, talking with people, meeting with people, how he was living, how he was walking every day, you actually meet with God himself. So if you want to know God, just meet with the Lord Jesus as he was walking on the earth. He was among the people. He was very close to each one of them. He was among the crowd. He was walking in the streets, going to the markets, meeting with the lower people in the society, the sin people, the those who are rejected from the community. He was going to those people, meeting with them. Although he is the Son of God, the Holy One, he didn't say, no, I'm very holy, I can meet with you. No, he went looking for them, seeking them, touching them, talking with them, going to their place. Because he came to earth to reveal who God is. And this is our role, to imitate his steps, to walk in his ways. It's good to enjoy the fellowship with the believer. Nothing better than that in this world. Nothing can quench the thirst in this wilderness while we are walking, more than being with the saints. That's a very good privilege that we have. But we ought also to go out in the world. It's every one of us has his own mission from the Lord. Someone, the Lord might send him somewhere else, overseas, another country. And someone, the Lord won't use him in his local work, local neighborhood, local friends and neighbors. This is our role, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would go with you, hoping to finish on time, through some of the verses we can read together from the Bible and the New Testament, starting from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds say to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the things that the Lord has come to pass, which is the Lord has made known to us. Let us Now go and see. We will meditate on some verses of the Bible that speaks about come and see. So here we find the first one. Let us go and see. Who's those who are talking? Those are the shepherds. Very simple people, very poor people. They were not at their home. They were somewhere outside shepherding their sheep. And the angels appeared to them. And they invited them. And they said, okay, we will go and see. We will see this great visitor who came to visit the planet of the earth. This is someone who is very great. He's coming to visit. So let us go. Let us go and see. And they took the action. They didn't say, oh, maybe this is just a hallucination or aliens coming from the sky. No. They took it very seriously because they were sincere, and the Lord saw the sincerity of their heart. So he sent them the angels with the message. They said, okay, we will go. Since he came to us, since he invited us, although we are very simple people, but let us go. Let us go and see. Let us go and see these things that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And this is a wonderful privilege for the humanity, for each human being, that the Lord Jesus came to our earth. And the same invitation today is for everyone. Come and see. Come and meet with a unique person. He's not giving you a religion. He's not giving you beliefs that the people has to follow. He didn't ask them, you know what, I am the best. I am the final prophet, and nobody is better than me. No. He didn't say that. He said, just come and meet with me. It's a personal meeting, personal interview, personal relationship. And then they went and they met with him. And then we go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And then we find another incident there in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 39, but we'll read first from verse 34. And I have seen, John 1:34, and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, in the next day, John, here, this is John the Baptist, stood with the two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walking, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Earlier he said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. But here it's a closer relationship. He's speaking to his disciples. They are already believers. They believed in God. So he told them, okay, here I want to take your attention to someone else. Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. What are you doing? You are disciples of John the Baptist. How you can leave your teacher like this and go following someone else? Are you disobeying your teacher? No, we are not disobeying our teacher. We exactly obeying him. We are following exactly what he taught us. Because John the Baptist, when he taught his disciples, he taught them about the Lord Jesus. He was taking their eyes, their attention, their even what he taught them through the prophecies of the Old Testament, that all these prophecies are pointing to a person. This person is the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the time has come, as he was telling them, you know what? It is the time to do the practical. I gave you all the theories before, and you were good, clever student. Now it is a practical. Here is the Son of God. Here is the Lamb of God. Let me see what you are going to do. He gave them the test, the exam, and they were very successful. They were A-plus student immediately. No talking, no arguing. Are you sure? No, nothing. Our teacher told us that this is Jesus Christ. So what we have to do is we have to follow him. Why? Because our teacher told us, not only by talking, but he was also a follower of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and then in verse The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing the following, them following, and said to them, "Who do you seek?" Then said to him, "Rabbi," which is said, which is to say, when translated, teacher, "where are you staying?" So he asked them a question, and they answered with a question. They didn't answer his question, but they answered with a question. "Whom do you seek?" They told him, "You know what? It's a long story. It's a long story. We need to talk. We need to sit. We need to live with you because we have a lot to hear from you and to learn from you." He said to them, Come and see. Certainly. Come and see yourself. Come and meet with a person. I will not give you, you know, the 10 or 20 or whatever commandments. Go learn this and come and recite it later and then we will talk. No. Come and see. Come and live with me. Come and see me and learn from me, because it's a personal relationship. And this is the basic of the Christianity. Of course, we have a lot of foundations in the Christianity or in our relation with the Lord, but one of the most important thing is dealing with the Lord in our relationship as a living person, that we talk with him and learn from him. And you know what, from many practical experience for many believers all over the world, in our private or individual experience, we many times experience for sure that he is talking to us and he is leading us. And how much we lose when we don't follow him. For me, it's not always easy to discern his voice. But not because it is difficult, but because maybe many times I'm not in the right position. What I want to say is, when we are in the right position in our relation with the Lord, it is not difficult at all, and it's not complicated at all to know his will for our life and to discern his voice when he talks to us. Now, those two disciples were Andrew and his brother John, who is the writer of this gospel. So Andrew found his another one, his fellow, we read in verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. So he found Peter, the great apostle. And Andrew, he's unique. Maybe he's not known, although he acquainted with the Lord Jesus first, but he was always in the shadow, you know. He's the brother of Simon Peter. Simon Peter was the big name. But Andrew did a very great role. And this role we can trace it in three occasions in the Bible. First, he found his brother, Peter. What a wonderful fish that he was able, you know, to catch. And then later, he found that lad, that young boy, who had the five loaves and the two fishes. And then later, he found the Greek people in the Greek fellows in John 6. So he was a great person who lead the people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That his role. I heard a story about a preacher. I don't know the last name. Maybe some knows him. His name is Story. He was one of the preachers. And they invited him to a school here in the States some time ago to preach. And he was so busy, or he has some other things, he was not able to go. At that time, Billy Graham was a young man who started to preach the word. It was not known, but anyhow, he was preaching the word. So he told the school, "You know, I'm not able to come, but I will send you a young man. His name is Billy Graham." They said, no, 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 we want you. He said, you know what? You have to accept this young man here, Billy Graham. And Billy Graham went and preached the word. So Tori called him later, how did it go? He said, yeah, it went wonderful. But so Billy Graham, Tori asked him, did you take the name of those who accepted the Lord? He said, yes, only one accepted the Lord by the name of Warren Wiersbe. What a great catch that, although the Lord used Billy Graham later, but the point is, he did a very simple job, maybe. Oh, I'm disappointed, I didn't do a great job like Tori is doing, but only one accepted the Lord. But what a wonderful this Warren Wiersbe. So he found Simon Peter, and he told him in and then later in verse 46, they learned the same word from the Lord. Philip also, Philip, and said Philip to him, come and see, come and see. Whatever we will tell you is not enough. Whatever we tell you is not enough. You have to come and see yourself. You will not believe whom you will meet with. This unique and wonderful person, it's not enough to hear about him. Whatever sermons, whatever going to the different meetings, whatever reading even the Bible, it's not enough. It's not enough. That's why we will find many going to the lake of fire, although they are Christian. Why? Because they were dealing with Christianity as religion, as belief, not as a personal relationship with this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what makes a difference. Come and see. Come and see. Not see as, you know, just take a look. No. But behold, look at this man. And I am sure they couldn't turn away their eyes from him. They continue looking at him. And the whole eternity, what we will do? Just beholding him, gazing at this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ. How humble he is to receive more visitors. Oh, I don't have a place, you know. I'm a poor man. I don't have place for people. You two came and now you are inviting more people? Oh, he has a purpose. His purpose is to accept those people. So come and see. God manifested in flesh in Luke 2. Come and see. How sweet is the fellowship with him? Come and see his humbleness, that he is able to receive everyone. Now we go also in the Gospel of John, chapter 4 and verse 29. The Samaritan woman said, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? The same experience. She met with him, and she went. She met with him in an unusual time. Whatever that time was early in the morning or the afternoon. There's two opinions here. Maybe Brother Jake can tell us about that another time, about the Greek time or the Jewish time that the Gospel of John. Anyhow, in both cases, it was not the usual time where the ladies go to take the water. She went in a time because she wanted to avoid the looks from the people. She was rejected from the community. But the Lord went, and he has to go. If you read the first verses in chapter 4, we read that he has to go through that place. Why? You could do it in another way. But I have to go there. Because although I'm going somewhere else, but my destination is this person. Not that place, but this person. I have to meet with this lady here. Because that's why I came from heaven to earth. To meet with the sinners. And he met with her and transformed her life. And she went and told them all, you know what? He told me everything I did. You just were avoiding everybody. Now you go for everyone in the village and telling them about, they know already what you did, and maybe she told them more. But when she came to speak about him, she said, you know what? I'm not telling you anything. You have to come. You have to come and see. And they saw already the miracle in the life of this lady. They saw the miraculous transformation in her life. how she completely became a new born in Christ. And then they said, you know what? We have to go and meet with this man. We have to go and meet with him. And how wonderful, how wonderful. She didn't say anything. She didn't put any verse from the Bible. It's a very simple message that come and see someone who transformed me. Like the blind man in John 9. Very simple message. I was blind and now I can see. Come and see. And they came and met with him and they believed in him. Many of them, they believed in him. Now we go to the Gospel of John also, chapter 11 and verse 34. Chapter 11 and verse 34. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They say to him, "Lord, come and see. Come and see." Here we find his heart, his tender heart, his kindness. You know, he was able to heal him before he dies, and he was able even to raise him up. He did that miracle before from a distance. He doesn't need to come to Lazarus' tomb to raise him up, no? No, he doesn't need that. But he came. We learn from this many, many beautiful and wonderful lessons. First of all, we learn that he is a wise God in all his dealing with us. Lord, why do you allow that, the death, the departure of this Lazarus? Why do you allow this? Why you didn't heal him at the beginning while they sent you? Why you didn't go at this time? He wanted to confirm to us two things. First of all, his heart, which is full of love, will never change. But we have to understand something else. Maybe our minds cannot fathom this, but he is a very wise God. That he does things sometimes for us, we don't understand it. Doesn't make sense for us as human beings. But he's very wise. And his very heart is full of love. And the proof of this love is those hands, the mark of the nails on the cross. As he wants to tell us, you know, I love you this much, to the uttermost. You have to not understand that, but to believe that he loves us to the uttermost. So those hands that been nailed on the cross for us will never offer us anything that's not for our good, even if we don't understand it on the moment. But his tenderness, his kind heart. And then he said, okay, where is he? He knows, he's the omniscient God. He knows where they put him. He knows. But he won't use them, you know. He won't use them. He won't use me and you and each one of us. Whatever we can do, he wants to tell us, you know what, do it. Do it. I will be with you. I walk with you. I will help you. I will do the difficult part that you can't do. But you do your part, you know? You do your part. Let us see. Where is he? Come and see. Come and see how the situation is. And they invited him for a member in the family who's in a miserable situation. And maybe one of our family members is dead. He's not accepting the Lord. He is able to do the miracle in our families. Whether the small circle or the bigger circle. And then he said, Lazarus, come out. And someone said, it's good that you say Lazarus, you know, because if you didn't say Lazarus, everybody in the tombs will come out. He is the life, you know. He is the life and he is the life giver. So he said, Lazarus, only Lazarus. The rest, wait for now. One day you will, either a sinner or a believer, one day you will, but not now. Now I want only him. Lazarus, come on. Come and see his tenderness. He wept. He wept. The Lord Jesus wept. You know, he didn't come in the scene. You know what? I am Jesus. I am the one who does the miracles. Why you are crying? I'm here. No, he didn't do that. He wept with that. Lord, are you weeping? You will raise him in just a couple of minutes. Yeah, but I share with. I love them. I am with them even in their difficult times. I am there for each one of you. And then we go to Mark 5:15. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed, and he had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They came to Jesus and saw the one. Come and see his freedom. You know, in my mind, some people that I know in my life that I said they will never accept the Lord. For me, from my mind, I said, those people, they will never accept the Lord one day. But when you see the miracles happen in their lives, how the Lord set them free, and they I remember one of them, he told us his testimony. He came to the Sunday school when he was a child, 5-6 years, and then he went far in the sin, and he was a drug dealer. And then when he was 25, he started to ask, where is that in our, in Sudan, we have to name church. So we are called there the Brethren Church. So he started to ask the big churches there, where there was a Brethren Church here. We were renting a place and we moved to another place. And he started to look, and he came. And he told us this testimony. He came, and that time there was a gospel meeting. He was ready to accept the Lord. And then he said, you know what? I just remembered some verses from the Sunday school in this place, like the people when we met there. And the Lord used those words, and I was looking for the meeting, and it came. I was not only addicted to drugs, but I was a drug dealer. Come and see his freedom. And then in Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. But the angels answered and said to the woman, don't be afraid, for I know that you are seek Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. He's not here. You know, some small flash videos, they put on the resurrection, they put that the angel came and moved the stone, and then Jesus went out of the tomb. That's wrong. Because Jesus doesn't need an angel to come and move the stone. Moving the stone for us to go in and see that he's not there. He's not there. So here the angel told them, come and see, he's not there. What are you looking for? You're looking for the right person in the wrong place. He will never be in this place. Come and see, he's not there. He's living. And he is alive. And he is going with you in your journey. Walking with you in a wonderful story. Full of lessons when we read about the Emmaus disciples in Luke 24. You know, it could very easy for him that he appears to them and say, what are you, why you are sad? Oh, because of Jesus Christ. You know what? I am Jesus Christ. Okay, be happy. Bye. I have many things to do. He didn't do that. He walked with them. He talked with them. You know, he heard them. What's going on? Why you are sad? Until he fixed the problem. And then after he made sure that the problem is fixed, then he vanished from their eyes, because he wanted to connect them to himself, not on a tangible aspect or physical aspect, but on a spiritual one. But the last one we will conclude with in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like a thunder, come and see. And then verse 3, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. And then we can find it also in verse 5 and verse 6. And this, seriously, no one wants to go No one will want to go and see him as the one, as the judge. You don't want to meet with the Lord Jesus as the judge. For now, he's the Lamb of God. He's stretching out his hands for everyone. But one day he will be the lion that comes out of the tribe of Judah. And woe for those who were going to meet with him as the judge. What a privilege for us today. And for everyone who will come to meet with him. As the one who can change, can transform, can set free. And it's also responsibility for us to go and tell the others, come and see. Come and see person, a divine person, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all the glory. Amen.
Amen.